Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone. Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Jennifer Shepherd, Melanie Atherton-Allen, Autumn Jarvis, Jonathan Bryan, Pedro Rosario Silva, Sarah Johnson. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 77 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffigan.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan.
Sasha Rackett.
Grisoldrick Act Amsterdam.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how doomed are you?
We're not that doomed, are we, Grizzle?
Mildly.
We're at the top of some stairs which have collapsed with a bunch of zombies crawling out of the sewage waste below.
Doom in the basement, moderate to good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a bit disappointed to find the bad guy wasn't in the shadowy curtains drawn box with the creepy hand coming out of it.
That was a sex hand and you know it.
Narratively, I'm very disappointed, but I wouldn't describe myself as doomed as such.
At most, I may contain scenes of mild peril. By contain, I mean, like, I've got the situation pretty firmly in hand.
And with that in mind, as a brief update, you are all currently in an opera house. After shenanigans and getting split up and etc., there has been a very creepy voice that has been simultaneously speaking into every single person's ear simultaneously, saying...
Simultaneously?
Hello, Prague. Hello, I'm not engaging with that joke. Prague. I'm just blasting past it. But as it stands, we have...
I had fun and that's what matters.
The good news is that the rest of the Wizarding Council are likely alerted.
Yes?
Is that a mushroom cloud? Yeah, we should go look at that.
Yeah, they did see.
No, not directly.
Shield your eyes. Terrible idea.
If you can see the cloud, the other bit has already happened.
Yeah, a little bit. So as it stands, we have Bertie and Hamid out in the corridor by the boxes, with Bertie half naked, top half, not bottom, because
he's wearing an undershirt under his armour.
Well, of course. But I mean, he's
normally
naked.
Normally, very light padding because it's quite heavy and it isn't comfortable.
He's naked in all the meaningful ways, by which I mean you're not wearing any flash garb. How are people going to know you're important or special?
I mean, he's not emotionally naked. Like, he's still quite buttoned down.
Yeah, I was going to say quite a lot in the way down there. And Hamid having both exposed the Count and then watched as the Count and the Countess ran off, presumably to have a big fight. Meanwhile, down in the basement...
That's what they do.
Down in the basement, you're getting suspicious ripples from the water.
You're a suspicious ripple.
Yeah.
So, we will pick up exactly where we left off, but with Hamid and Bertie first. You are in the corridor beside the boxes and have just heard the...
Hello, Prague. Hello,
Prague. I'm going to go to the front of the box and open the curtains and check that everyone in the auditorium has heard the same thing we've heard.
Okay.
Bertie's going to gather up his armour and put it back on.
Okay. Putting on your armour takes...
Several minutes. Ages
and ages, just to let you know.
All right.
Hamid, give me a perception check.
17.
Also, give me a will save.
No.
Oh, damn.
And yet you're doing it.
Foiled. 17.
So, you enter the auditorium into what is clearly an active magical effect. You can feel something try and impress itself upon you, but you shake
it
off.
Is it a fear-based effect?
Yeah.
19, then.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Hamid, as you come to the balcony, you see that the auditorium is awash in a red glow. It appears to be entirely utlit, and all of the other lights have now gone out. It's not a very nice-looking scene. All of the people are still sat in their chairs, perfectly still, and staring at the stage. Upon the stage stands what you recognise to be Don Giovanni. In the centre of the stage, floating about half a foot above it, with all of the black cloak and etc. slowly waving outwards in a wind that isn't there.
Oh my god, it's Voldemort, guys.
Gripping what's clearly a massive tome, and everyone is sat perfectly still and just staring.
How much did I bet that it was going to happen on the stage, guys? You're like, no, poo-poo basement, poo-poo basement.
You have managed to so far go unnoticed, Hamid. Meanwhile, jumping to the basement, the second that the voice started, that little kind of ripple that you saw, the much larger waves are coming closer, and you are definitely hearing sort of scraping wet footsteps.
Oh, man, why did I stock up on fire stuff? There's always water.
Well, you know.
What's down there? What's the heavy thing? I don't have dark vision.
I do, so I'm going to have a look. Can I see anything?
You can sort of poke your head.
Yeah.
Give me a perception check.
Yes. 19.
Okay, so the water, it's getting more and more turbulent. First one massive shambling foot, then another massive shambling foot enters your vision. And then as it moves further, you see a massive shambling mess. You give me a knowledge religion.
Okay. That's an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
It's big, and it's definitely some kind of zombie. It's probably a big zombie.
Like, super nailed.
You're not necessarily going out on a huge limb there.
Okay.
It's a large one.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. But beyond that, it's also not alone.
Okay, are there other big ones or something?
It carries other zombies with it in its
heart.
There
are a few smaller ones surrounding it, which are moving closer.
Zombie friends!
And then there is a second set of...
Okay.
And another large zombie-esque creature is also shambling closer.
Oh! A couple of big zombies and a lot of little ones. I'm going to start firing arrows now.
That sounds like a great idea. What with power cables? That's what we need while they're all in water. Damn it.
So, before I jump into initiative order with you guys...
Right.
Jumping back to the box, etc. Hamid, what are you doing next?
I have concocted a plan. I am going to find a way to distract this man whilst I get Bertie down onto the stage behind him. So I'm going back out into the corridor to explain this to Bertie.
Do so in character.
Bertie, he's on the stage. It's definitely Kafka. I think there should be a way down here into the wings, and you might be able to lower yourself down. I'm going to go into the auditorium and try and distract him, and you have to sneak up behind him. Maybe you should just leave your armour off.
Ah, stealth, my true forte.
Little did you know.
Yes. I'm a man of many hidden talents. I mean, no, hang on. No. I mean, just because the woman can do it and she's poor as well doesn't mean I can necessarily do it. I'm going to be terrible. That would be truly awful at sneaking up on people.
Okay, I'll sneak up on him. You go and distract him.
All right, give me a minute. Just put my armour on.
Well, let me help you.
I'm going to jump back to initiative order. Bear in mind that the way that initiative order works is one round is 6 seconds and it takes minutes for Bertie to put his armour on. So we'll see how this plans out.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, this is definitely not Zolf. I rolled a 23.
I got an 18.
Oh, good grief. Right.
We're going... It doesn't matter. We're going first. There's zombies. Yeah.
One sec. On the bright side...
Somebody knows the mechanics. Yeah, just take the fun out of it.
Look, okay, the fact that I rolled single figures for every single one is yet more evidence that even if you hadn't have known what was going on, the dice will just let the game play out how it should. It's all good.
The dice know. All hail dice.
Right, with that in mind, Grizzop, you're up.
Yeah, so I activate my Divine Bond, which, because I'm using a ranged weapon, means that every time I knock the bow, the arrow catches fire with a holy light. So it lights the arrow like a torch, it lasts 5 minutes, and all of my arrows have the flaming quality, so they have 1d6 damage.
Excessive.
Yeah.
Very well. You have at least two massive targets with three smaller ones, but obviously more are still coming in as you're...
Brilliant.
There.
So I'm going for massive target number one.
Massive target number one.
Yep, yeah, I'm taking rapid shots, so I get to do two of those. Is it within 30 foot of me?
What's your dark vision sight?
60 foot.
I'm going to fast forward time by about a few rounds. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so I'm going to use rapid shot. So I hit it on a...
You assume you hit it.
20.
You hit it so much.
I'm glad we had this talk. Right, another D6.
It's almost like massive things are really easy to hit.
Yeah, so that's 5 fire damage.
5 fire damage? No weapon damage as well?
No, that is, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
He was totaling.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
5 damage, that has flaming components. And then my second shot hits on a...
yes, it does.
17, yep.
Yeah.
5 fire damage.
Are they on fire? So I could actually see them. Can you describe how it's lit up?
There's enough flame for you to see, probably.
So, yeah. As you fire the first arrow, it flies forward, and there is a brief flash of light. To Sasha's eyes, without the dark vision and so on, it's more like a flash of lightning, you know, where you get a brief, this is the scene, and then it goes away. What you see is at least two more massive things behind the first one and two, and more, like, smaller zombies than you can realistically count at a glance. The first arrow slorps in comic talk into the first big one. It does create a burst of fire and then does some damage and such, but nonetheless, it very much just went into it because it is a bloated, horrible mass. The second one lands exactly where the first one did, and there's a brief second flash of light as it clearly has come out the rear of the creature, and I'm going to throw you a bone, has buried itself into another one, which falls backwards splish, into the water, which then starts to douse the flame.
Sure.
There's loads of them. That's what you can see.
Oh,
Sasha, you're up.
All right. So there's a lot here.
Yep.
Right. Okay. I guess alchemist fire at the one that is. Is it still on fire?
It is not a flame. It has been hit by fire. So you're throwing in the dark.
Am I throwing in the dark towards a light?
You're throwing it in the dark, but they're so densely packed that I'm not going to get you to roll any kind of concealment for the simple reason that it's just.
Do you hit the big one or one of the others?
It's reminding you of that time you had to literally throw daggers at a barn door.
Ah, oh dear. Right, but a barn dead, fleshy
did,
one.
What you need to do is
like find some sort of barrel of oil to pour it into the water.
Oh, absolutely. Right, that'd be useful.
Welcome to the next episode of Micro Siege.
Yeah. Right, okay, yes, throw.
Give me the attack roll.
19.
That's a hit, and what's more is if you were aiming for the same one as Grizzop, you've managed to hit it.
Hooray, yes, I was.
Even in the dark.
Yay.
It's really big. That helps.
And then I do 3 damage plus 1 splash.
Okay, the one splash hits everything in the room.
Okay.
Broadly speaking, the creature looks basically fine. Flames are licking over it, but it doesn't really seem to be burning. But again, it's quite soggy, so that might be what's going on. All of the creatures shamble closer. I'm going to jump back to Hamid and Bertie as you are still putting his armour on.
The strap, is that
it goes
the
just in there. You've got to loosen the buckle, then put it in.
Okay.
Think of a half Windsor. It's sort of like that.
Oh, of course.
And back to the action. Grizzop, you're up.
It's same again. So I'm just going to speed this up. Right, that is a hit on a 21 and a hit on a 15.
Yep. Unless you are getting a single figure as your finished modified attack, you're going to be hitting.
Sure. And I deal a total of 15, 18, 20 damage.
20, there we go. Now we're cooking. The creature, flames are definitely starting to catch upon it. Gives a sort of... and starts trying to run closer. However, by virtue of it just being this massive mess... It just actually is more or less keeping the same speed. It's just looking more agitated.
It's already wading, so it can't really move faster.
Yeah, it's at its max speed already.
Well,
Sasha.
Might be a lot of them, but looks like they're slow.
I'm gonna go find some oil, something that will light them up.
I'll hold them off.
Okay.
So what are you doing?
Heading off to try and find something flammable.
Okay, give me a search check.
What do I add to that?
Perception.
It's perception.
Oh, so 14.
That was 3.5, Alex speaking.
Yeah.
14.
Yeah.
Eventually, you do manage to find a few more things that are, like, flammable. Like, you find a little canister of gas for the lights and another similar item. But you're going to be honest, like, you might be able to retrofit them into making a slightly more powerful alchemist fire, but you haven't found anything of enough scale to really have an effect.
Well, I assume that took my turn.
Absolutely. In fact, that's going to have taken more than a bit. I'm just going to have to skip time ahead
here.
Okay. Jumping back to Hamid and Bertie, you have finished putting Bertie's armour back on.
Ah,
with
good.
A clunk, the helmet goes on.
Clunk, click, there we are, and that clip there.
Rabbit round the houses, back down the street.
I'm going to go through this door. I think it leads into the upper level of the wings. You get into the auditorium and stop him from doing his ritual.
Provide a distraction, hmm?
Yeah.
Yes, very well. Sir Bertrand McGovingham off into the breach, and by breach he means theatre. Bertie draws his sword and moves into the box.
Into the box?
Okay. So I'm going to go to... I'm basing this on the theatres I've been in, but there should be like basically a locked door that leads onto the side beside the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can't open a locked door, but I do have an infinitely castable acid splash. So I'm just going to point at the lock and keep
splash,
casting.
If it's anything like the other theatre doors here, it just won't be locked.
That wasn't Hamid's idea, was it?
No,
that was Ben's. Splash, splash, splash. Okay. Bertie, you see a similar scene to what Hamid saw. Also, give me a will save.
Oh, dear.
Bertie's modifier on this is 0. 8.
8.
Plus 1 versus fear.
Plus 1 versus fear if it's fear.
9.
Ooh. Yeah.
Goodness me. I mean, you failed less badly.
let's not pretend that was a question of skill. Carry on.
So, as you step in towards the auditorium and you see the scene before you, you still go unnoticed by, presumably, Kafka upon the stage. However, as you step in, you feel a creeping dread sort of come over you. The closest familiarity you have with this is, you remember that dread you were having of all of the fallen houses? Well, all of those fallen houses were MacGuffingham's, and all of them fell because of you specifically, and your dad is still around to be really annoyed about
Father?
It.
Father!
So, effectively how this is manifesting as, for now at least, you are feeling frozen in place by fear, and it's a new one for you. I don't think it's ever actually come up in this campaign before. So it is a new experience for Bertie. It's just you have gone to pieces. Like, it's all you can do not to drop your sword currently. And give me a perception check.
Total of two.
You close your eyes in fear.
Okay. Ironically, I can see more.
Okay, I'm going to jump time ahead a bit.
Sure.
Sasha, you return with what you did manage to find to the doorway. Meanwhile, in this time, unless you say otherwise, Grizzop has been slowing them down with arrows. Nonetheless, eventually you did manage to topple the first one because you had enough time, they were moving so slow through the water. But there's at least another two of the big giant guys.
Oh boy.
And loads of the smaller ones. The first big giant one has reached the where the stairway used to be and is clawing up. It can't climb at all.
Sure.
The second one has also just reached it and is proceeding to climb and is doing better than the first one by virtue of it has a nice big mound to get a leg up.
Okay.
And the smaller ones are all starting to swarm over the bigger ones. There is no coordination here. There's no plan. They're just war of attritioning it. Sasha, you rock up and have just seeing... Like, it's still dark unless you're carrying your light with you and so on.
What do you got?
Just this... Weirdly, they don't keep that many barrels of, like, enormous flammable oils here.
Oh, have you got anything?
Just a couple of canisters.
Throw them, I'll shoot them.
Throws one of the canisters of gas on the thing, and then I want to... It's basically dropping alchemist fire on them rather than throwing, isn't it? If they're coming right up beneath us.
You're going to have to do an attack roll in order to see if you, like, flub it, okay. But anything short of that, you're fine.
Well.
Yeah, you're good. Well.
Okay, and then...
To clarify, she rolled an 11. It wasn't a 1, 2, or maybe a 3.
Do the Jaws thing. Throw it in its mouth and then shoot it.
That was my idea.
You do, however, have to have an excellent one-liner or you will be taking a penalty. So, you know, be aware.
Okay, I'll start thinking.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, better be good for this flame war.
Hey!
Light them up with dazzling wit.
It's getting harder now.
Stop shutting down options! Right, so...
I'm just gassing
you
around.
You drop your alchemist. Throw your dice for damage.
4 plus 1 splash.
Okay.
And now I only have 3 of those things.
Okie doke. Grizzop, you're up.
Sure, okay. Yes, I'm going to fire an arrow and say, I've got to go, but it's been a gas! There you go, and then
hey.
Fire.
Hey!
So we don't need to go, though.
I mean, it's not good enough for a bonus.
I don't... Sorry, wait, Grizzle, can you just explain that? I'm not always very quick on the uptake with these things. So
can't talk, firing arrows!
One of them was a critical failure. The other one was, however, a 23.
A 23? So, the first arrow you fire... You line up the shot and it's a perfect dead shot. You say your line, you fire. At that exact moment, one of the smaller zombies' heads comes straight into your field of view, having finally clambered up the rest, takes it right between the eyes and falls backwards. Draw the second one, fire. That one does hit. It explodes, dealing your normal damage, plus, because, yeah, why not? It was lodged in its mushy, mushy head, a further 2d6 damage.
Cool. So that is 10,
ooh,
12,
bad roll.
14.
14. So what I'm looking at there with those dice is two are good, two are bad, and you roll two dice for your weapon damage and so on, right?
Yeah.
So your weapon damage, fantastic, it buries straight into the head, gives a big roar. The liquid that you hit, bang, hits, and proceeds to just gush out, and it doesn't actually really catch. The bonus damage is from your shot being really good. It turns out that oil was seriously old, rotten, dusty, and no good for anything.
Sorry, mate.
I never was a chemist, no worries.
And I think we'll take a very doom-laden break and be back in a couple of minutes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. So with that in mind, Hamid. Splash, 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 splash. The door finally swings open.
Okay, I sneak into the wings. I look out into the auditorium and see that Bertie is doing nothing.
Before you get to the wings, you see that everyone else is frozen in place. All of the performers are frozen in place, all of the stage hands, and you can see, give me a perception check.
13.
As everyone within eyesight is frozen in place, it appears that all of them are clearly under the effect of something that you are not currently. And the person, again, presumably Kafka. It's Kafka. Let's just skip the mystery.
Oh, spoilers!
It's Kafka.
Oh,
God, the massive glowing...
Alex, there's so many options.
So Kafka has the book
Shakespeare,
open,
could have been
has his eyes shut, has his hand upon the page, and he's mumbling
to
himself.
Could have been Greg in disguise.
There's a lot of power sloshing around in here.
I am going to quietly take out my crossbow, load it, and aim very carefully. Not aiming for Kafka, I'm aiming for the book.
Okay, give me a stealth check.
17.
You crawl into the not auditorium. You know, you
I'm
sneak
the,
out
the
into
the
wings,
the wings,
the upper level of the wings, and you know, you get your crossbow right, you get the bolt, and you go. Jams. Jams again.
Hamid swears very quietly.
It then misfires. It doesn't fire the bolt, but there's a really loud as it sort of resets itself, only half cocked and so on.
And swears slightly more loudly.
Kafka stops, turns looking directly at you with what are clearly glowing eyes. And everyone hears this.
Oh, hello, hello.
Hi! Cut to Bertie. Mm-hmm. Give me a will save.
Fear. Oh, if it's versus fear, then 16.
16? You manage to shake off the effect. However, it's possibly the most effort that Bertie's ever done. There was something wrong in me and about me that I needed to change because my reaction wasn't... Right, this hasn't happened before.
That doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, basically, you've managed
it's
to over...
just a bit of gas. Oh, I feel all unsettled inside. Those prawns.
Bloody foreign food.
What you've managed to do is
it's
over...
It's not emotional growth.
No.
It's off soup. Wonky soup, not feelings.
Nonetheless, you have managed to free yourself from it. You are very much aware that the effect that was having an effect on you is still sloshing around, but you've sort of risen above it and then recognised it as something that's imposing upon you because you don't do fear.
Mm-hmm.
You are now stood upon the balcony overseeing and you are still unnoticed. Like, wow, okay, yeah. You're good. You're good.
Okay. Bertie sees that he is unnoticed, presumably.
You are both aware that you are unnoticed and aware that he is presumably staring directly at where Hamid is. He's completely oblivious to you.
If anything, that's offensive.
Yes.
In fact, you know what's happened? You know Hamid's original plan?
Yeah.
It's going
that.
Flawlessly.
Good thinking, Hamid. What a stroke of genius.
He's thinks. Completely distracted.
Yes. Bertie takes a step off the edge of the balcony.
Okay, wicked.
And activates his boots of flying.
Yes.
Okay, yay. Give me an acrobatics roll. You can't fail this. This is just to determine to how stylish you look.
Okay. There's an actual skill called fly.
Oh, this is for the launch.
Okay,
we are not at the flight yet.
3. If it's an acrobatics thing, that's minus 7. minus 4.
So you are still flying. You haven't flown yet. Yeah. But what's happened is you've stepped off and gone, ooh, okay. And there's a lot of give in that. And you kind of drop about 5, yeah. 10 feet before rewriting. You're like, oh, left a bit.
Bertie's foot clips a safety rail and ends up doing a slow somersault. All the way down.
It's like the very first time Iron Man launches.
Yeah,
Iron
that's
Man.
Exactly what we're going for. But you do manage to right yourself and you're ready to go. So, back to Sasha and Grizzop. You are still in initiative order. I'm getting a bit mushy with time here, to keep things going. So, Grizzop.
So where are these zombies? Are they still like right up in our...
They are now... The two large ones are basically on top of one another at this point, and all the smaller ones are scrambling up to the point where they are now starting to just come through the doorway. However, you could just close your eyes and fire because it's a wall full of zombie.
But instead of that, I am going to mutter a prayer to Artemis and channel positive energy.
That would also
probably work.
Yeah, two of my lay on hand uses. I'm channeling 2d6 positive energy at people. They have a save. It's 16 if anyone's resistance.
Okay.
So everyone is taking 9 positive energy. So
okay, one sec.
I heal a hit point.
Yay, I get healed. I was on 21.
Give it a second, Sasha. And what was the DC to resist it?
16.
I'm not that undead. Only a little bit. Minorly dead. Moderate corpse.
That's undead, almost half dead.
Yeah.
And how much damage did you do?
9.
So, I got good news, bad news, and worse news.
Yay?
The good news is...
No, I want the worst news first.
Ah, okay. The worst news is Sasha...
Give
me the save.
No, I'm not that dead. I'm only very mildly dead. I'm like 6 dead. What? That's 6.
It's a will save.
Will save, so 10.
10. You feel currently nauseated. You have been channel positive energy before and it didn't hurt. It hasn't healed you and you feel a bit sickened.
Is she taking the condition sickened?
Yeah.
You are currently taking the condition nauseated.
Oh.
What does that mean? Minus 2 on everything.
Nauseated means that she can only do one action.
Oh, that one.
Around until the nausea passes, basically. Nice. The bad news is both of the big guys resisted.
Also gross.
The okay news is that all of the smaller ones that were within range of it just... got basically destroyed by it and fell down into the water.
Okay.
So you've managed to buy yourself a good chunk of time because the big ones are just, the height is too much and they can't climb.
At range of 30 foot as well.
Yeah, so it washed over the big guys. They managed to shrug it off, basically. But all of the smaller ones have been obliterated. That were within range of it, but there are still more coming.
Partial victory!
That's the best kind!
That was great, and I feel great too. That totally healed me, yeah!
Sasha, you're up. You can only do... one action, so you can either move or you can attack, but you can't do...
Drop a bomb on their heads.
Do you have any bombs left?
An alchemist bomb. I've got 3 left, yeah.
Alchemist fire, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is 13 plus
7, 20. It's a hit. It's a grand hit.
On right and left.
It shatters right on its head.
Yay! And that does... 2 plus 1 splash damage.
There is a distinct... and splatters of it light up. You do now manage to catch its head sort of aflame, enough for you to actually see the scene again, so it's not just darkness down there.
Oh, that looks awful.
Jumping
but
back...
I feel fine about it. Really fine.
Jumping back to Hamid, give me a will save.
Versus fear?
Yes.
18.
So... all of that energy that's been sloshing around is suddenly redirected to you, Hamid, and it is just coming straight for you. You are aware that potentially something that's city-wide is now being aimed at you, and you manage to shrug it off. Most likely it's maybe not ready or something. Give me a knowledge arcana.
Oh, not very much. 18.
18?
Right.
You know what I said, but...
My modifier's better than I thought, right? Just...
You know what I said, but no more. You're no expert in this, but you're very aware that... he's messing around with a ritual on the fly in order to bear down on you, but you do manage to shrug it off. He's visibly surprised by this. Bertie, give me a perception check.
Why do I even bother? 6.
6. All the people are in the auditorium stir just a little bit. Presumably, they're really impressed with you. Hamid, you're still up. However, I am now going to get you to roll initiative as well as Bertie, and we're all in initiative order at that point.
So are we considered synced up?
Yes.
Oh!
Right,
natural 20.
Both of us have it.
Whoa!
Both of us have natural
20. On the
20s.
Most useless one ever.
Yeah!
Okay, right, so Bertie's at 20, and Hamid's at 20.
No, we both have bonuses on initiative. Yeah. You get a bonus of 2, and I have a bonus of 3, so 23 and 22.
So Hamid goes first, goodness me. However, I'm fairly certain that no matter how many modifiers he's got, Kafka ain't going to be... That's an 8. It wasn't great. He's not a quick character at the best of times.
Kafka and the zombies.
You are in initiative order. However, he is going to say something to you, so basically keep your responses short. It's just...
And who are you?
Is all he says. It is now your turn, Hamid.
I grab a rope.
Yes!
That's attached to a sandbag.
Yes!
And step off the ledge.
Yes!
Making an acrobatics roll to land appropriately.
Give me an acrobatics roll and a perform roll. These are two separate things.
I don't have a perform roll.
Give me an acrobatics roll.
15.
You succeed in the maneuver.
Charisma bonus.
Yeah. 22 on the perform roll.
So you
a natural.
You succeed in the maneuver, and you can give me a witty one-liner as you land that everyone in the room will hear, because the acoustics are amazing.
I'm the person that's here to stop you. It's not witty, but it goes.
Yeah,
go
yeah,
with
it's
it.
All good. It's all good.
You get the sorry impression about that dropping if... in on you like this.
Oh.
Lydia, you should just be our writer for this.
Yeah,
like, you should just
but not quotes. Sasha. Lydia, yeah, Sasha. No. Bertie, you're up.
Okay, so where is Bertie exactly in relation to the stage at this point?
You are hovering in front of the balcony of which you stepped off.
Wobbling yeah. like a drunk astronaut.
You are on, if you were sat in the audience, the left-hand side of boxes.
Yeah.
And you are maybe 60 feet in a sort of straight line, which obviously does elevation and stuff, mm-hmm. between you and Kafka. He has still not noticed you. And you are hovering over an auditorium of people who are all just fixed in their seats. They shuffled a little bit, but
yeah.
they're basically still.
So how far off the ground is Bertie at this point?
Good, like 50 feet.
It's at this point, about 10 feet down from the box that he's just stepped out of, that Bertie remembers, in this stealthy manoeuvre, that he has an invisibility potion.
Yes! Yes, he does. It's been a while. Yes.
Yeah. So Bertie is going to, as he gently...
Wafts
down. Go, oh! Come to a very stealthy realisation about his inventory. As he gently does a somersault, he's going to glug the invisibility potion.
That's fine. You have taken the invisibility potion, and I presume you're approaching Kafka.
That's what I want fan art of.
What an invisible Bertie here.
Bertie doing a upside down somersault with his legs everywhere.
And he's
trying to drink from the bottle while his little wings are going crazy as the invisibility begins to descend.
It's an in-flight invisibility potion, so it's a very small bottle. Outrageously expensive.
So we're going to see whether the tiny sound of... from the wings... He does not roll anywhere near high enough. You are, for the first time in your life, silent deaf. You are stealthy.
I am the night. Silent night. Oh,
I will give another roll if you're not careful. Right. So, Kafka, facing Hamid, obviously completely oblivious to the silent death winging its way on choral wings. His face starts to shift a bit. He looks angry, and then he looks apoplectic, and then the frown is getting, like, down towards where his nose is. The grin on his face is getting, like, there's weird warping of features. He mutters something to himself very, very quietly that gets louder and louder and louder, till eventually he just chucks an arm out towards Hamid. Hamid, give me a will save.
14?
14.
Wait, versus fear?
No.
Ah.
So, where before you thought you'd felt him rearrange that ritual to hit you, now you actually feel it hit you, and it basically feels like, for a moment you're like, yeah, I can reach, oh god, and it just obliterates your mind, effectively. So, I'll give you a quick knowledge arcana as it's happening to see if you can recognise what it is.
29.
So, it appears that what Kafka has done is cast an incredibly brutal, feeble mind upon you. It has reduced your intelligence and charisma to 1. Instantly.
Barely alive.
You can only be healed magically. Magic healing will fix it up, but as it stands, your charisma and your intelligence has just been obliterated. So what happens is, effectively, he turns to you. There's a moment of, I think I'm... Oh, no. And you just get completely overwhelmed. Like, it literally effectively just crushes your mind.
Wrong time to enter RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, you don't collapse or anything, but you are just stood there swaying slightly. And yeah, at 1, like, given that 10 is your average person, you're
I know what it means.
In a bad way.
Yeah. Hammond drops to all fours.
Grizzop, you're up.
Right. I think it's firing an arrow into each of this giant zombie's eyes.
Okay.
That's nice and near me. So.
I will let you, I mean, I'm playing loose and fast here, I'll let you do a sort of called shot to hit the eyes.
Sure.
But it will be more difficult to do so.
I will take minuses.
That's
My
fine.
Attack bonus is currently plus 10, so lay it on me.
Your attack bonus is plus 10?
Yeah.
For the big guy?
Yeah.
You can see in the dark?
Yeah.
Roll.
Right.
Both you hit both 19. Eyes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
For future reference, the only way you could miss them with that kind of a modifier, given that you can see, is by rolling a 1.
Sweet, I love it. So the left eye takes 11 points of fire damage.
Yep.
The right eye takes 11 points of fire damage. Oh!
So,
I mean, it's blind, but I think it might also be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
His brain is literally
It takes
on
the
fire.
Condition blinded. It takes the condition dead. 1 is more useful.
It is not dead.
Yay.
However,
what do you mean, yay?
Well, now it did something.
There's sticks coming out of its skull.
However,
out
they have gone
front of its skull.
They have gone
as it
through
moves around.
The feathered. What's it called? The feathered fletching of the arrows are now poking out from the eye sockets with the bolt, not the bolts, the heads of the arrows now poking out the back of its head.
Ooh, an extra weapon.
And it stumbles, it stumbles backwards. It's the one that's higher up.
Yeah.
It falls backwards, crushing a bunch of the smaller ones beneath it.
Yeah.
As it's, and it's trying to stand and it's going, and it's just thrashing around. It was a very effective maneuver.
Good.
Sasha, you're up.
Okay. I feel great, by the way. That was really great healing.
Oh, there, you're welcome.
I'm going to throw an alchemist's fire down there. I suppose the one that is standing up still.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I can barely see.
After this, you will not be nauseated. This is your last round nauseated.
Rolling 8 plus 7. So,
yeah, you're
15.
Fine. You're still fine.
Yep. So I hit it. I only do 1. Oh. 6 plus 1 splash.
Ooh, that's good. That is going to be stacking up on those mini zombies as well.
Well, one hopes.
The zombies, momentarily in disarray because basically a huge hill zombie has managed to fall and mess around with them. They're all basically just kind of clawing until the big guy that you made blind can get itself back into the action because the distance between the doorway and even the top of the sort of giant zombies. Far too large still.
Me falling through those stairs was the best tactical move that we've made so far.
This is really good. Like, this could have gone a lot worse.
Yeah. Hamid, you're up. Now, bear in mind, of course, that your intelligence and charisma are at 1, so your personality's kind of gone by the wayside a bit.
But perception-wise and physically, Hamid has not actually changed that much.
You physically, in every other way, Hamid is absolutely fine. He's not been physically damaged, he's not been hurt, he's not fallen off anything.
Hamid's hands change into claws.
Mm-hmm.
The bracelets that he's always wears slips off.
Mm-hmm.
And his clothing essentially disintegrates.
Okay.
Leaving not a pair of purple shorts behind, but some quite stylish underwear.
Are they purple? Do they stretch?
No. They're tasteful green.
Of course.
He looks horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, this is where we're actually going to get the fan art.
Like, as his claws has changed, you can see the sort of the claw-like pattern start to spread across his body just very minorly. And a couple of old scars that he's had have sort of shown up as ridges.
Yeah, yeah.
And his feet have started to change as well. Mm. And his shoes have fallen off as well. It's actually quite unusual for a halfling to wear shoes, but
sure,
it's not time to address that.
You're going to the theatre.
And he scrabbles on all fours and leaps mouth first at the book in Kafka's hand.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to be making a disarm check.
Go for it.
So it's a combat manoeuvre.
These are all the things I don't know exist.
Well, technically a blind is also a combat manoeuvre.
You could always say, I want to do this thing, and then I'll translate
to it. That's not how it works, is it?
17.
17?
Combat manoeuvre defence is a flat thing.
Little rabid baby dragon here.
And it shouldn't be very high, because he's not really a combat character.
That's another good point. Yep. So that was literally as close as it could possibly be. Because this is quite a brutal boss, and I'm tired of you all defeating them instantly, so I've brought the noise a bit. Yeah, this creature that used to be Hamid plows into the
sort
momentarily
of
yeah.
claws and teeth first. It sort of somehow manages to drag the book out of Kafka's hand.
It momentarily, like in the surprise of Kafka having gone, I'm pretty certain I've just done ego death on you, and then you turn into something and launch at. Yeah, he's surprised. You manage to basically grab and knock the book completely out of his hands. However, you also land a bit awkwardly, but you manage to scrabble back to your feet.
Oh, little rabbit,
Bertie,
baby,
give me a perception check.
Birdie two.
A massive dog has attacked Kafka at just the right moment.
Talk about ego death.
It's brutal!
Bertie, you're up.
Hamid
oh, yep.
is turning to flee. He doesn't have anything else to do,
yeah,
but
yeah.
it's clearly that he's not picking up the book. He doesn't have the intelligence to know that. He doesn't know anything except he now wants to run away.
We'll say that was the last vestiges of any kind of wisdom.
It's because that's how he was pointed,
basically.
And, his perception was still focused on the book.
So there's now a rampaging Hamid to deal with. We'll get to that. Okay, Bertie, yeah, some huge creature, you're pretty certain it's a dog, has managed to knock a big old book from that guy's hand. You are now...
Brutal was always so intelligent.
I was about to say, given that Bertie ended up with a two there, can Bertie persist with the idea that he is in fact...
I will allow it, it's fine.
All right, cool.
Give me, if you want, you can now get to Kafka in this turn, but you will need to make another stealth check in order to do so, and another
He's
fly check.
Got an invisibility.
You get a plus 20.
You get a plus a massive amount.
Is it plus 20?
Okay.
It's
plus,
basically...
Plus 20 while moving.
Yeah.
Can Bertie get to a position where he can attack Kafka
this
with
turn?
A sword?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. Absolutely, but you would need to give me both of those rolls, or you could just... forget the stealth and just go straight for a charge.
I mean, it's the flying bit that's going to be the challenge.
Yes,
really,
it is.
Rather than the,
and there's no way around that.
Yeah.
Do you have a potion of fly better? You don't. It's not a thing.
I mean, I've got two bottles of cheap brandy, so I've got a potion. I've got a potion of think you can fly better.
There's still time. There's still time.
Okay.
That would have been incredibly useful for these freaking fire zombies.
Alcohol, yes.
Yeah.
Bertie also got a tanglefoot bag, which would be quite handy.
I mean, I was nauseated. I can't be expected to make decisions in that.
Anyway, so what are you doing, Bertie?
Bertie's going to go for a flying stealth attack.
Flying stealth attack.
Swoop majestically like Christmas on the breeze.
Okay, so first...
This is exactly what you want your tank to be doing in a standard role-playing part. For anyone who's looking for advice, yeah, absolutely do this.
Just
so
just
give
go
me
it
the,
alone.
Give
that's
me the
there,
stealth
that's the
check first.
Stealth check. That is... Oh! critical fail!
That's the one that you had a 20 bonus! You had a bonus of 20!
All you had to do was not roll
one.
Okay, give me another roll for the flight.
Oh, that's 17. That is minus 7 because he's flying in armour.
Hey, I've got
10. 10 is enough.
I got good news
for you. You landed okay. where you wanted.
So, I'm going to leave this up to you. You managed to get to Kafka and get the attack off. However, at the very last second, he knows that you're there. What gives you away?
Yeah, Bertie does it by going, "Hello, young man."
Could he? No. Couldn't resist. No. In fairness.
Not used to being stealthy. It's just too much pressure. I had to say something. Otherwise, how would he know that I'm about to sneakily stab him in the spine?
Give me an attack roll. You lose the bonuses you would have got for being unseen, but you still are getting an attack in.
Is plus... 22.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just roll the damage. I'm not going to calculate that. Just okay. Roll the damage. This is a boss based entirely on you not getting near enough to do anything.
That is 11 damage.
So, as you plow forward, announce yourself foolishly and attack, the invisibility immediately dissipates as you attack.
But
you
here I am!
But you do get a really excellent slash across Kafka's chest. It throws him backwards and knocks him down to his knees. He turns that disfigured face upon you and just goes,
"Oh, you're next."
And I'm going to end the episode there.
Is he mechanically, is he still next to...
Yeah.
Well, we're all fine down here in the basement. We feel great. Fine. Totally, really healthy.
I'm sure everything's fine. I'm sure everything's going to go fine.
Great. It's cool. Great. We've got a new mascot.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
That little kind of ripple that you saw has turned into definite movement and definite churning of the water further away, and the waves are getting much larger. Much larger.
Hey. Much larger waves.
All around.
Hey,
party in the basement.
Everyone take a drink.
From this puddle with dead people in.
Delicious.
No. I'm going to activate my paladin weapon.
Ah, Smite Evil, I'm guessing?
Nope.
Oh, goodness me.
I have a different thing. A different thing that I was looking up.
For the benefit of the tape, Ben, on announcing it, he's going to bring out his paladin weapon, just reached under the table.
Brought a massive weapon.
Behold!
Literally bringing out the paladin weapon.
The player handbook.
Yes.
It's heavy.
Clunk a zombie over the head with that.
It's a book, mate. I hate to break it to you. I mean, I realise that like knowledge,
in
some ways, is our most powerful weapon.
His true weapon is the holy text.
Right.
The pen is all the rules that we live by are in that book.
Yeah.
The pen is mightier than the sword, and the PHB is mightier than the pen.
What's the PHB?
Player's handbook.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun! And see you later.